All right, tonight, as we look into the book of Acts 14, we've got to remember a little bit about chapter 13 in light of knowing that Paul and Barnabas were on a journey to move God's word, and God had told them to take off and to do this. It was by revelation that they moved out, and they ended up in Iconium here. And let's see. You know, it's interesting. In verse 50 of chapter 13, it says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Now here they were just holding forth the word. They reached many people, Gentiles and Jews alike. We can see that in the previous verses. It says in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout the region, all the region there. So they were really doing a mighty work, but you know, the devil doesn't like that. And many times, you know, you're doing a great job if the devil kicks up his heels sometimes, you know, because he's going to try to stop you from holding forth the words of life. But how did they respond to this persecution that the Jews brought their way? Well, verse 51 says, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. You have a figure of speech here, right? Where they just shook the dust off their feet. They didn't carry any animosity. They weren't upset. They weren't crying, saying, oh, this is not fair. We're doing such a good job, and now the devil's messing with us. No, they moved on. They didn't allow the persecution to hold them back or bum them out. What does verse 52 say? And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So, regardless of the persecution, they still had the joy. And we need to recognize that. I know times will, you know, get a little rough sometimes, and we wonder what's going on, and the old devil's kicked up his heels. But, you know, we can hold on to the joy of the Lord. We really can. Because that's not determined by what the devil does. Well, here they are. They came to Iconium. We're in chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that at the great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. Now the Greeks were the Gentiles. Those were non-Jews, okay? Anybody that was not a Jew were in that category of Greeks in the King James here, or Gentiles, perhaps a better translation. Some of your different translations probably have that. But they were getting results. People were believing the word of God that Paul and Barnabas were sharing. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. See, there it is. The adversary is kicking up his heels. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. That did not hold them back from boldly speaking the words of the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You know, the grace of God was coming into fruition here in a real big way. And that's, we can see that here. It says, unto the word of his grace. And that God would open the doors for many signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, which their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. So if you look on your maps, you can see they're still in the middle of what we know today as Turkey, and they're in that nearby town from Iconium, and so they're in this Lystra Derbe area. In verse 7, and there they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Pretty drastic situation, huh? And saying, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. How does Paul know that this man who hadn't walked in his whole life had the believing to be healed? God must have told him through revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that this man could be healed. And how encouraging that is. It's not a guesswork. It's not speculation of ministering to people. But God works with the believers to let him know what to do. And so Paul had this revelation that this guy had the believing to be healed. Verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Isn't that neat? You know, we remember some of the other stories where people were delivered, right? Of being impotent, not being able to walk, being crippled. The one guy leaping and praising God, remember that account? And here was this wonderful man, got delivered, and he was upright on his feet. Verse 11, and when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. You know, these guys, all they knew was what they'd been taught in the past. And obviously they were taught all kinds of crazy religions that influenced their thinking. And so they're saying that these guys are gods in the likeness of men. Verse 12, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius. I think in the other translations, there's Zeus and Hermes? Yeah, Zeus and Hermes. Okay, different gods depending on the translation. Because he was the chief speaker. Verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. You know, the people, again, they couldn't go any further in what they knew, and this is what they would do in their religion. And they would sacrifice these oxen and dress them all up, and they would sacrifice them to the people. Well, verse 14 says, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes. Now, they didn't, you know, open up a shop and rent out their cloak and everything else. This is old English, where they got a little upset and frustrated, and it's an old English term for that emotional expression that they were all upset. You know, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Now, Paul is trying to reach these people as best he could in light of what they knew. Who in times past, verse 16, suffered or allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Verse 18, and when these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Now this Antioch is the one in the, as you see in your map here, that's in that southern regions of what is Turkey now. And so here comes these certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. So what was their intent? What was their goal? Well, they were going to persuade the people. Yeah, that get rid of Paul. These guys are not good. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, boy, to get stoned to the extent that you're dead, or look like you're dead, I mean, you're going to look pretty, pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty ugly mind picture there. And poor Paul had to go through that. But let's see what happened here. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood around him, what do you think those apostles were doing, or disciples rather? I bet they were praying. Yeah, I got to think they're believers, they're smart, they're praying for Paul, they don't want him dead. And so they were standing around about him, and what happened? He rose up. Paul rose up. Some people teach that he did die, and he rose up from the dead, or he was very close to death, and yet all of a sudden was re-energized and was able to stand up and be fully alive. So he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, you know, you, again, imagine people that have gone through something like this, and the next day they're taking the long journey walking to Derbe. So Paul was miraculously healed, no doubt about it. So, verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to where? Antioch. Where were the people from that killed Paul or almost killed him? They were from the same place. And yet Paul goes back there to minister the word to them. Boy. Talk about boldness. Talk about standing for God. Pretty neat. So they went back there. They went back to those cities. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That, you know, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So Paul not only taught the word, but he worked with the people there. He rose, you know, helped raise up elders so that when he left, there was leadership there to minister to the people. So it's pretty fantastic, his ministry. Not just speaking the word and leaving town, but coming back and blessing the people, providing leadership for them, helping them out. Verse 24, and after they had passed through Pisidia, beside Bethsaida, they came to Pamphylia. Again, you can look on your map here. They're kind of coming back the way they came. They're getting very close to the coast. And when they had preached the word in Perga, which is right on the coast almost, on the coast, they went down to Attalia and then sailed to Antioch. And now they went all the way straight across. They didn't stop in Cyprus. You know, they came that way through Cyprus, but they didn't go to Cyprus. They came straight from Perga and Attalia all the way to Antioch on the Syrian coast there. Excuse me. So, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. It was there in Antioch that God told them to take this trip and win people to the Lord. And they won hundreds to thousands of people and established churches. In verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles now were responding to the word of God, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So, quite a chapter, huh? And this ends this first trip of Paul that he takes, being told by God to take the trip, and a lot of things happened. It wasn't easy. And moving God's word is never going to be easy. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be challenges. But we need to rise up through those challenges, those persecutions. And knowing that God is on our side, we're always going to be able to get through whatever the devil throws at us. Whatever the adversary puts in our way, God will make a way for us to get through. We just got to stand faithful and trust our Heavenly Father to take care of us, huh? Pretty neat. Well, I would like to review this little segment here, and I do have this on the video, a four-minute little segment that reviews this. So if you may have forgotten a part of it or whatever, this will be your opportunity to see it again.
Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet!" At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language,
"The gods have come down to us in human form!"
Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and reeds to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah. From Attaliah, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
I figured if you didn't catch me reading it, you'd catch it on the video. So, yeah, it's really fascinating to look at these records in the book of Acts. This is what God wanted communicated to teach us about the early church and how they moved the word and the opportunities they had, the persecution they endured. So some great, great lessons in there. So I'm looking forward to moving on through the book of Acts next time we get together, okay?